Support this podcast and keep us going. Go to everydaynovelist.com/support to join up.
Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer, author of nearly 30 books, more than 30 short stories, and numerous articles and scripts and essays, coming to you from up in the crow's nest with my spyglass on this daily voyage through the dicey waters of business, craft, learning, and art in the writing life. Welcome to The Questions, episode 658.
Today we hear from Vega, who has a follow-up question about villains and likability. She asks,
I listened to question 639 with great interest, your answer to Ian's question about a villain in his story, and I have some follow-up questions. From just hearing Ian's question, I would have defined his hitman character as likable instead of sympathetic. Can you please expand on your answer to Ian and define what you mean by sympathetic? I was also fascinated by your statement, paraphrased here, characters who are conflicted inside, caught between competing loyalties and making tragic mistakes as a result, readers find those characters unsympathetic. Based on this explanation, it seems that characters whom the reader can identify with are also the least sympathetic characters, whatever that means. So, what is the role of an everyman character whom a reader can identify with? Are they meant to be sympathetic, likable, or something else?
Interesting, interesting question. All right, let me try to tease out what I was meaning there. Okay, by sympathetic, I mean a character whom we can get very, very invested in. It's not exactly the same as a likable character. Likable character is a character you might want to have a beer with. Or in my case, you might want to have tea with, since I've never quite understood the beer thing. So, someone who's likable may not be someone who you approve of, may not be someone who you particularly identify with, but they are someone who you enjoy being around. You can see the difference between likable and sympathetic by looking at recent presidents. Bill Clinton and George Bush are very likable people. Very hard to feel a lot of sympathy for either one of them with some of the shenanigans they pulled in office. But they're both very likable people by all reports, and they project that air of likability. You know, I may not want him running my country, but I wouldn't mind having coffee with him. Obama and Trump are both very sympathetic, but not very likable. Obama took fewer meetings than anyone except that one president who died after 16 days in office. He didn't like people. He's not a personable kind of guy. But Obama and Trump both got elected by creating an air of sympathy and identifiability with their base. Obama was the struggling black kid from Chicago who rose up and broke the racial barriers and whatnot, and Trump was the aspirational dream of the working class construction worker and the forgotten man in the middle of the country. So they were both sort of sympathetic symbols into whom people poured their identity and with whom they could feel strongly identified. But Obama, because he doesn't like people very much, and Trump, because he's boorish as hell, neither of them might be the kind of people you'd want to go out to have coffee with. Depending on your politics, you may or may not want one or the other of them running your country. You probably don't want them at dinner. At least, you know, at an intimate, friendly type of dinner. Kitty pointed this out off mic, because she didn't want the show to get political, but I think you can do that analysis without getting political about it, because those are really good examples of the difference between likable and sympathetic. Likable characters have a personality that invites companionship, that invites fun, and sympathetic characters have a nature that invites emotional investment and a sense of fellow feeling. Now, the statement you quoted from me, characters who are conflicted inside, caught between competing loyalties and making tragic mistakes as a result, readers find those characters unsympathetic. Yes. And you can actually see this in the dichotomy of recent presidents that we talked about. Bush Jr. and Clinton were fairly unsympathetic people. Clinton wrecked his public image in all sorts of ways, all sorts of misbehavior and prevarications and whatnot, and embarrassed the hell out of himself. And it was very, very hard, even if you were on his side, it was very, very hard to feel sympathy with the guy, because he was just, you don't do that. And Bush wrecked a massive amount of goodwill coming off a very hotly contested election. Even his own party had problems with him. When September 11th happened, he had this massive amount of goodwill. The whole country united behind him, and he then proceeded to wreck all of it by behaving and forming policy in a way that was very unsympathetic and tone-deaf. And you don't have to disagree with his policy to think that. These guys were not good at the sympathy game. They were good at the personability game. Obama and Trump were both really good, at least with their base, at the sympathy game. They both had this sense of certainty, of moral authority, of being unconflicted about what they wanted to do and what their vision was. Most people who didn't hate them for one reason or another could find it really easy, if you weren't being a critical thinker, to just identify with them and fall in line, because they're both, in their own ways, strong leaders with strong presences and a great deal of charisma. People find that sympathetic. Sympathy involves, at least in the way that I'm splitting the hairs, sympathy involves a degree of aspiration. You want them to win, if you're on their side, because they're an aspirational figure for you. There's something about them that you want to be like, or that you see as being a good thing. Whereas with Bush Jr. and Clinton, even if you were on their side, you might not want them to win, even though you kind of liked them and they seemed like nice guys, or at least like interesting guys. Now, why is it that people don't find characters sympathetic if they're having those venial struggles, the internal conflicts? It's because we don't like that about ourselves. We can sympathize with them, but we don't find it particularly appealing to do so unless you hook someone just right. We find people like that more likable. We find them identifiable in different ways. But
we were just talking about Pulp Fiction and in the previous recording we did. Right, and one of the things that you were talking about there was the moral dilemma that Jules had, and how that brought us on side and created interest and tension. So there's, I think, different kinds of... It's not moral conflict so much as moral waffling. The sense that...
Yes, thank you. Yes, that's it. Yeah, okay, so please finish your thought, but...
So I think what's unsympathetic is a sense of moral waffling. Like, however despicable we may find their end goals, they're committed and they're not in doubt about those.
Mm-hmm.
That draws us in. But if they're waffling about them and they're doing terrible things because they don't have the conviction to say no to them, that's unsympathetic.
Thank you. Yes, and Jules in that scene is... He's grappling with a revelation that will require him to change direction, but he's not stopping and having a massive amount of self-doubt. He's having a reconsideration, and that's not quite the same thing. As you were talking, a character that epitomizes what I was talking about in the unsympathetic people that are like us, a character that popped to mind is Gollum. Gollum is a character who it's easy to feel affection for and pity for. And contempt for. And the characters that are too much like the way that most people are all the time inside arouse the emotions of affection and pity and contempt, as opposed to sympathy and admiration and aspiration. And so a villain becomes, or any character becomes, charismatic and attractive to the same degree that they do not struggle with those kinds of waffling, good word, with those kinds of internal waffling in the way that the rest of us do all the time. Because regardless of what we may think of their actions, or even their emotions and their morals, the fact that they have that sense of direction makes their journey takeable. Now, what does that do to the everyman? Well, the everyman is an epitomization of the ordinary fellow. He's got the ordinary fellow's struggles, and the everyman starts off as Gollum. And he becomes, if we're going to stick with Lord of the Rings, he starts off as Gollum and he becomes Aragorn. Bilbo is actually a much better everyman character, Bilbo and the Hobbit. Starts off as the small-minded, venial, quite likable type of guy, and becomes an admirable hero over the course of the book, because his life is disturbed and he is forced to rise to the occasion. And that's the role of the everyman as the bridge from the likable to the sympathetic. So I think that takes care of everything in the question. I hope that helps and makes things clearer. Feel free to hit me back if it doesn't. Thank you very much for sending it in. It's a fun topic, isn't it? I'll see you tomorrow.
The Everyday Novelist is written by J. Daniel Sawyer and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and Kitty Nakian and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. The text is copyright 2019 J. Daniel Sawyer and the production is copyright 2019 Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license and all other rights are reserved to their respective owners. Join the conversation. Submit a question, leave a comment, or a creative death threat. Or find me at jdsawyeronminds.com or hit me at feedback@jdsawyer.net. We can't do it without you.